Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Now, we're going to talk now about the results of the first National Maternity Bereavement Experience Survey. They've been published today. The survey, which, as I say, is the first ever of its kind in Ireland, asked women and their partners about the bereavement care they received in an Irish maternity hospital or unit following a pregnancy loss or perinatal death. Three quarters of participants in the survey felt they received a good standard of care in maternity hospitals, but a quarter rated their care as between fair or poor, while more than half of women aged under 25 described their experience as fair to poor, nearly twice as high as any other age cohort. Well, to discuss the survey and the experience of women and their partners, I'm joined by Mary Cregan, founder of Felicon, the Stillbirth and Neonatal Death Association of Ireland. Mary, you're very welcome to the programme. It's not an easy discussion to have, and perhaps not an easy listen for an awful lot of people. So I hope it comes across as compassionately as possible. The aim of this, of course, was to hear people's experiences, Mary, and to help improve the service. Isn't that right?
Yeah, and like when your baby dies, especially if it's unexpected, or the people who know that they're the women who know their baby is going to die, have a different set of needs again. But you are very, very vulnerable and you're very frightened. And even if you've time to prepare, the reality of the situation is absolutely horrendous. And what we do need, what we expect from the caregivers, from the providers, from our healthcare workers, is an awareness of that. And I know 74% of parents, of mothers, found that they received that type of care. But one in four is quite high for parents who had less than optimal care.
Mm-hmm. Why was that, I wonder? What could be improved, or what was negative about the experience for people?
Well, just going through it there, and I was reading it again today, was a lot of it is communication, and we have to resource staff to do their job properly. And I just looked and delved deeper into that. Are staff being resourced properly? The whole hospital valuing of this role, because it's very, like you said earlier, very, very hard place to work when somebody's life, their dreams have crashed down, and you're trying to support them, you're trying to give them the medical care they need as well, and to try to bring them through this horrendous experience. And then the follow-up, of course, discharge came up very poorly as well. But that's one of the ones I would think of, is that resourcing and training. The training is there. Are staff supported to go on the training? Is the time set aside? Are they supported to give parents what they need at this time?
Yeah, because when your world comes crashing down around you, I assume that the compassionate word and the time given by staff, and the staff is obviously they're extremely busy in any healthcare setting, but it's extremely important to give that time and compassion, I suppose, at that point.
You know, it's absolutely vital. Like 5 minutes of good care at the time your baby dies means so much to you. You remember it forever. I remember my midwife that I had when my daughter died 17 years ago. I remember her. I think of her a lot. Like, she's forgotten about me, I'm sure. You know, she's working in a busy hospital. And also when my grandson died 3 years ago, it was it's the care, the kindness, the acknowledgement, minding you, minding the mother, minding the dad, minding the support persons is what's remembered by parents. Mm-hmm. And it's when it's offhand care then, well, that 5 minutes, that comment, that throwaway comment can impact on families so much, so deeply. And really, we need staff to be aware of this.
Yeah. As you say, you lost your baby. Is it in 2006, Mary?
Yeah, 2006.
Did anything that you were reading in the study about the level of care that people maybe weren't happy with, did anything resonate with your own experience?
Oh, hugely. I couldn't believe the part. Parents, with what we now know, with all the evidence research, with even just the ordinary stories from people like myself of having to hear a baby, a newborn baby crying, like that is absolutely torture. And the physical, your body reacts physically to that, wanting to care for that baby, which your own baby is deceased, has died, and is in a cot if you were lucky enough to be allowed to room in. But in my case, it was a bit different, but I was lucky enough that I could have my baby, and now parents are given that option all the time, or should be anyway. But it really is, it's It's absolutely cruel. It's obscene that women have to go through this now.
My God.
And that really did shock me, yeah.
That is extreme, needlessly difficult, isn't it? I mean, there's a simple answer there. Bring the bereaved parents to a quiet place in the hospital.
Yeah.
I mean...
And that means we have to have a whole hospital valuing of what the bereavement teams are trying to offer. So, you know, they can't just be moved any time that there's something else is prioritised, that we have to see that this is what our parents need, and their needs are huge at this time. And you know, I was glad to see in the response that they are looking, the HSE are looking at this, and if the, you know, if the response is it's aligned with the bereavement standards, which I was glad to see, that at least we can measure it now and see, look, our hospitals doing what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. I know that parents can be left completely bereft. As you say, their world comes crashing down when they receive the news. The manner in which they receive the news is extremely important, and counselling, access to counselling can be crucial as well.
Yeah, and any support, or even to signpost them to other organisations. Like Felicon's not the only one. There's other organisations there that can support women and their support persons, the bereaved family, regarding the issues that come up that you're not ready for. Like, you know, people expect you to get over the death of a baby very quickly, and you don't. It's one of the most complicated bereavements. If the woman becomes pregnant again, the mother has another baby, they expect, oh, she's fixed now, she's okay. And that's not true at all. It brings, like, while it takes away the empty arms and that part, it brings a whole lot more longing, loss, and, you know, one baby does not replace another. The same as a husband or a new wife doesn't replace an old one, you know, but we seem to think that babies are replaceable. They're not. And for parents whose babies die in mid-trimester, their needs are different again.
Yeah.
And unacknowledged by our society, unacknowledged in our community. So where are they going to get the support? They need to be signed. You have to remember too that, you know, that 74% did say that they had good care. So the knowledge is there, the skills are there. And instead of kind of looking at the negative the whole time, but even though that's probably my job, you know, the negative for the parents, that we do have the knowledge, we do have the skills.
And as we said at the very start, it's not about focusing on the negative, but the reasons you're collating these experiences is to try and help the 25% or 26% who said they had a bad experience. You said something very interesting there, Mary, and I might pick up on it if you don't mind. You said it's the unseen grief. I forget what word you use, but it's unseen or unacknowledged.
Yeah.
Now,
that
is so true, isn't it? Sometimes people feel that they can't even grieve publicly about the baby they've lost.
And I suppose there's a lot of shame and secrecy around stillbirth, neonatal death, and especially around mid-trimester loss, because a lot of the babies that die, you know, in the mid-trimester, that people think, well, they're not a real baby anyway, but I mean, to the parents, that their hope, their joy, everything is gone. Like, you can't be a little bit pregnant either, you know?
Yeah.
And by the time you get to second trimester, like, you think you're home and dry, and that suddenly the baby is gone, and people think, gosh, it was only so many weeks, it was only so many months.
I hope people don't believe that in any great way anymore.
Yeah.
I know that used to
I
be
hope
the
not,
case.
But that's what parents are telling us.
Okay.
You know that it's a different experience. We would, you know, if people are listening, just to you know, to be gentle with somebody who has lost their baby mid-trimester. It's a huge loss.
Yeah. What do you think can be improved then? You're in Felagon, you're providing assistance and really crucial supports to people who've lost babies. What do you think the system could do to improve the situation tomorrow?
Well, start by, I suppose, their own response, and it's to resource it properly. And if, well, we would say to every midwife or every person that's working with somebody who's, you know, there will be women tomorrow who will be told that their baby is going to die or has died, and just to take the time to help them to absorb that news that has changed their life, changed the way they are forever. And then whoever is in charge to put a decent follow-through plan. So they have to go in and give birth to their baby who has died, or will in time, you know, that their baby isn't going to make it. Support that woman right through. Support her family, her support person, her husband, if that's what she has. Support them right through. So it's not just until the baby is born then. It's afterwards as well, as when you're going home to an empty house or going home to an empty cot. What happens then? How am I going to feel in a few weeks? And just put those supports in. Where to go.
Look, it's not an easy conversation or listen, as I said at the very start, but if somebody's been affected by what the discussion we've been having, Mary, I could direct them to your own organisation, Felicon Stillbirth and Neonatal Death Association of Ireland. You have a befriending service and a support line on 085-249-6464, 085-249-6464. Mary Cregan, founder of Felicon, thank you very much indeed for joining us in the programme.